Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Very excited now to be joined by Matt Miller, the lead NFL draft writer at Bleacher Report. Matt, thanks for joining us here today, and let's just get right on into it. Cleveland Browns, number four, our big debate today is, do you take a quarterback there? If you could have any quarterback, would you take the quarterback at four or take Sammy Watkins? What's your take on that scenario for the Browns?
Oh, that's tough. I'm of the school of thought that until you have a quarterback, you have to try to get one. So if everyone's on the board, I would want Teddy Bridgewater ahead of Sammy Watkins. If Bridgewater's off the board, give me Watkins, and I'll try to find a quarterback at 26 or at the top of the second round.
You and I are in agreement on that. That's the way that I like it. To me, Teddy Bridgewater is the one guy that I would feel great about in this class, and I've heard you say in the past that he's the second-best quarterback you've evaluated other than Andrew Luck. What is it about Bridgewater that you like so much?
Well, I think you have to look at some of the small things that he does. You know, the fact that he actually makes his own checks before the snap. You know, that's gone in college football now. So many guys look to the sideline to get their checks. Bridgewater is actually processing what he sees from the defense before the snap, making adjustments, audibles, and then what he does after the snap. You know, this is a good athlete, a guy who during his time at Louisville has been an accomplished passer and runner, and he gives you that duality and that he can be a guy who stays in the pocket, can deliver the ball downfield. I think he throws with great touch and vision. He doesn't have the big cannon of an arm, but, you know, neither does Aaron Rodgers, neither does Andrew Luck. You know, you don't have to have the strongest arm in the NFL to be a great quarterback. And I think Bridgewater's touch, his ball placement, his anticipation of routes are all top tier, especially when you look at the quarterbacks we see in this year's class, the quarterbacks we saw last year's class. I think he has, you know, done a good job of putting himself apart from the competition.
Matt, Vic Carucci here. To the point of Bridgewater, Bortles, Johnny Manziel, for their various reasons, we know that people will, the common opinion is no Andrew Luck in this group, no really RG3 in this group, no Colin Kaepernick for what he proved to be, even though he wasn't a that kind of a pick looked at coming out of college. But looking at where that talent is now in the comparables, as you see it, is there something, I mean, is there any part of you that's uneasy because you have him at the very top of your board in what is considered a talent-rich draft? You have a quarterback there in Bridgewater, and it doesn't really matter. The fact that you have a quarterback there is telling me that maybe you see it differently. Are you seeing this in many ways as similar to what 2012 meant to the quarterback position out of the draft?
You know, I think there's always a certain amount of stubbornness that goes with, you know, creating a draft board, and I've pretty much stuck with Bridgewater wall to wall as the top guy. And I just think that his talent and then the value of that position is holding him in that spot for me. I think Jadeveon Clowney is a potentially once in a generation type talent. I mean, he could be the next Derek Thomas or, you know, Lawrence Taylor type of player, but I have question marks about him. And so I think I look at Bridgewater and say, this is the quarterback who I have the fewest question marks about. I think he still has room to improve, but his game translates to success right away. And I don't think that he's as good as Andrew Luck, but I thought Andrew Luck was, you know, Peyton Manning, John Elway-esque prospect. You know, if it were possible to give someone a 9.0 on your, you know, your draft grade,
right,
then that would be Andrew Luck. And for me, you know, Bridgewater isn't in that same tier, but I think he's similar to, you know, the way I graded RG3 or Matthew Stafford. I think he's in that area and a guy who can come in and be, you know, a top-tier NFL quarterback and maybe even develop into one of the greats in the game.
When you look at this draft, one of the things that I have a tough time, I'm with you, I want Bridgewater, and then if not, I'm very intrigued by Watkins. But given the depth of wide receiver at this draft, how big is that gap, let's say, between taking Watkins at four or ending up with a guy like Odell Beckham or Brandon Cooks at 26 for the Browns? How significant of a difference in the future potential is there in your mind for those kind of receivers?
Well, I think there's a huge gap between Sammy Watkins and everyone else, and I know other people will tell you differently because I've had so many people on Twitter come at me over this, but I think Watkins is in that upper echelon with guys like A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Maybe not Calvin Johnson just because of the sheer physical gifts that he brought to the position. But I think Watkins is a sure thing. I think that he's, you know, going to come in and be an instant impact wide receiver, and that's not something we see a whole lot. The drop from him to Mike Evans, maybe not huge, but Mike Evans isn't going to be there at 26. So you have to look down at guys like you mentioned Odell Beckham. I'm not even sure he's there at 26. So you're maybe looking at Brandon Cooks. Maybe you're looking at Marquise Lee, and I think the difference there is huge from Sammy Watkins down to guys like that. And even so, with the way the draft order falls this year, no guarantee that even that second tier of wide receivers is going to be there because so many teams, you know, right there in the 20s, you know, you look at Kansas City, a lot of teams that are going to need a wide receiver.
Matt Miller is our guest, draft lead draft analyst for Bleacher Report. Matt, with the Browns owning those 4th and 26th picks, owning the 10 overall and a bunch in the upper end of this draft, are they the team that you're going to pinpoint and say they've got the most chance to control what happens in because we always have the speculation of trade, except that with so much talent there, do you anticipate people even wanting to move because can't they sit where they are? You just did this rundown of receivers, and if you want one, sitting right where you are in rounds 1 or 2 can get you likely a good one.
I think that's a great point, Vic, and it's contrary to kind of what we've seen in previous years. I think that we'll see more teams stay where they're at this year and not want to move around a whole lot because there is so much talent. I mean, this is a year where I think you could legitimately say there are 5 or 6 guys who in a normal year might be the first overall pick. And it's going to make the argument for, you know, who comes off the board first this year pretty interesting. But if you're Cleveland at number 4, you got to feel really good about the guy you're going to get. Even if we see 3 quarterbacks go in the first 3 picks, there's still a lot of talent that's going to be left on the board. Or if no quarterbacks go in the first 3 picks, you're in a great spot. The trading that I could see happen is maybe a team like Atlanta, who, you know, really feels like they have to get Jadeveon Clowney. Maybe they come up to number 2. Or maybe Cleveland wants to get ahead of Jacksonville to get a quarterback. I think we might see some smaller trades. But, you know, like last year, we saw San Francisco go from 31 to 18 to get Eric Reed. I'm not sure if we'll see anything like that happen this year.
Matt, when you know that Kyle Shanahan's here, this is a team that's going to run that zone blocking scheme and needs that one-cut runner. In this class, what running backs or which running backs do you think would be the best fits for the Browns as they go through this draft?
Well, I think running back is a huge need for them, and that's every time I do a mock draft, it's like, okay, who fits for the Browns? And like you said, a one-cut runner. I think, you know, a lot of people will say Carlos Hyde or Trey Mason, but I would love to see Charles Sims from West Virginia mm-hmm. in that offense, not only because of the one-cut ability, and I think he really showcased that well at the Senior Bowl, and then you see the speed that he showed at the combine, but also because of his ability as a receiver. If you go back to when Sims was at Houston, and he was a very accomplished wide receiver. West Virginia didn't use him as much in that area, but I think he's a guy who, like Matt Forte, can come in, be a good runner inside the tackles, has the speed to bounce it outside, can attack on the edge, but can also stay on the field and help you as a receiver. So I like Charles Sims a lot. I think Bishop Sankey would be a good one-cut guy. Kadeem Carey from Arizona, obviously not a great top-end speed guy, but I think he does have good inside vision. So if you just want a guy to, you know, plant that foot hard and get upfield, I think he could be that type of guy. But Sims would be my pick of those guys we're talking about probably in the 3rd round at running back.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's a position that can be addressed. The Browns need it, as we all know, but in those middle round areas. The other thought I wanted to get from you is regarding Ray Farmer leading this draft, Matt. Just what you knew of him or know of him from his years as an assistant GM, as kind of a guy who has been part of drafting but not the main voice in it, and what history tells you, say, about first-time GMs and their philosophical approach to picking players. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a Missouri guy, and I've spent a lot of time in Kansas City where Ray Farmer was at for a long time. So I'm familiar with him. I've met him a few times. I think he is a really smart guy. Former player, a young guy. He's in touch with today's athlete, which I think is important. And I think he also has a clear philosophy on what type of player and what type of team he wants. And if you go back and look at what they did in Kansas City, they put an emphasis on drafting athletic, you know, speedy guys on defense, whether it was Derek Johnson or Eric Berry, Dontari Poe, Justin Houston. They got guys who could attack, and I think that that's the type of team he'll want to run. As far as being a first-time general manager, to me, the hardest part of it isn't evaluating players, but it's assigning value to those guys. So, you know, anyone can look at Sammy Watkins and say, wow, this kid's a really good wide receiver. The hard part is saying, where do we stack him on our board? You know, how valuable is he? So I think that'll be the biggest adjustment for Farmer coming in as a first-year general manager. But my limited interactions with him and what I've heard from everyone around the league is that, you know, this is a guy who the needle was definitely pointing up on him, that he was going to have a GM job very soon. So I'm excited. When he was announced as the GM, it felt like, you know, that was one of the better moves that the Browns have made in terms of adding people in quite a long time.
I agree. I'm very excited about the Ray Farmer era beginning here for the Cleveland Browns. And one decision he's going to have to make is how to fill the void at the inside linebacker position. We know DeQuell Jackson was released. He's with the Indianapolis Colts now. Not a lot of confidence inspiring people who have proven it on the field at that position. So it could be something they attack in free agency or the draft. Looking at the draft, C.J. Mosley would require the Browns to either probably trade down or trade up to get him in the first round. So who are some guys maybe in the middle rounds that you would be looking at to perhaps fill that void in the middle of this defense for Coach Patton?
Yeah, C.J. Mosley would be great there. Unfortunately, like you said, he probably won't be there. The inside linebacker class this year is a little weak, I would say. Chris Borland, I think everyone knows him from Wisconsin, but I don't think he's a great fit in a 3-4 scheme, especially in this scheme. So I would look at showing like Shane Scoe from Stanford, more of a linear guy, you know, a longer, leaner player, a good athlete who can roam a little bit and get outside the hash marks. Yalen Smallwood from UConn would be another guy I would look at. Again, if we're talking fourth round range, I think Smallwood fits there. Barrow from LSU is another guy who could play very well in a 3-4 scheme. But unfortunately, in my opinion at least, after Mosley in this year's class, I don't think you're getting that instant impact player. And when you look at the depth chart for the Browns right now, that's kind of what they need at that inside linebacker position. So it to me, it's an area you probably want to try to address in free agency if there's a guy they like, because this draft class is a little weak at that position.
Matt, tremendous stuff. Love the knowledge and the breakdown, and hope you can join us again in the not-too-distant future, my friend.
That would be great, guys. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate it, Matt. Thanks. And, guys, you can follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout, for the very latest on this draft. He's got my man Teddy Bridgewater, number one overall. I like him.
It's the only flaw in his game. I'm only kidding. I respect him immensely. And I respect the opinion. He gave the good reasons why, which are the reasons. You know, the guy does look NFL ready. If we could just do some, can he have a shoulder transplant? I just want him to get
You want to broaden wider, him up a little
just
bit?
A little more width, because I want him to hold up when he gets the living you know what beat out of him.
Well, the good news is, though, if you think about the trajectory of his career, within 5 years from now, are they even going to be allowed to touch quarterbacks?
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's true.
It is not as physically demanding a position as it once was. Seriously, with the way that the rules are going and trend year after year after year.
They still get crunched.
No question.
But you brought something up there. That's another little – we're going to have to make that a point of discussion down the line.
The great debate.
The rules. You're right. Yes. The rules could be favoring guys who just don't hit them at all. And it's almost, it's gotten to that point.
It's getting close.
It's getting close. Ask defenders, and it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
We got a lot more coming up on this program, including a conversation with Brandon McGee. You thought Russell Wilson is the only NFL player dabbling in professional baseball. Talk about the Browns linebacker special teams guy. In a few minutes here, CBD.